There's never been any
15-0.
Oh, man.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh yeah, here we go, people. Time to rock and roll, baby.
Yeah. Finally put some faces with the names. Yeah, this is really Motley Crue, isn't it?
Man.
We got Portland in the house.
We got Atlanta in the house. We got Houston in the house. Andre, where you at tonight?
I'm actually back in the A right now. So, all good, man. Next week, or probably 2 weeks, you'll see me. Actually, we'll do Zoom again. I'll be in Charlotte. My apartment is a little bit less, it's kind of small. So, yeah, this is the man cave. It's going down. See my little Atlanta Falcon in the background, Falcon spread, color rush. That's how we represent.
You gotta take that toilet paper off of you, man.
Oh, man. Again,
I'm wearing toilet paper
for you, too, man. So, JQ representing. That's all good with the Cincinnati. We got Curtis. We got Gary all the way from the West Coast. We got, where you at? Houston? Where you at, Rob? I don't even know where you at.
I'm in Houston.
Okay. All right. So everyone is covered, man. So, again, looking forward to a fun time.
We got somebody calling.
Next week, I'll be in NOLA.
good deal. Man, we got lots of things to talk about. We have a caller already joining in, so give me a quick second to set the stage. We're excited to bring some technology. I know you guys are probably sick of Zoom, but I just figured it'd be good to see your faces, and maybe we'll switch to a Zoom call every now and then just because, again, it's just kind of cool to talk sports. See your faces. We're all engaged, all that good stuff. So, again, let's introduce the fellas, as we always like to do, and these are some guys that I wouldn't trade even for the Last Dance. So let's kick it out with my man, JQ. How you feeling, bro? Good to see your face, man.
Man, I just had to look up, Rob. What kind of phone are you using? Are you using the apartment phone to call me out? Like, I ain't seen the phone that long. It's just like 2002.
I don't want to use a cell phone, man. I'm going to use a landline. Hey,
give you a hard time, man.
Hey, JQ, you know what? I still got the rotary dial phone, too, like the old school, man. Don't let me pull that one out on you. Hey, one of my favorite sayings is old school works best.
Hey, that's what's up.
Samuel Jackson called. He said it's time to come to the current time, man. Anyway, it's all good. The other voice, yeah, we always give Rob a hard time because, again, he can't show us what he's eating now. So, again, Rob Ford, how you feeling, man? My sworn enemy, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm feeling nice and cool, refreshing. Man, just had me a nice bowl of watermelon. Oh, man, it was amazing. Nice and sweet. Ooh.
Oh, my God. I can't.
Right after some shrimp and asparagus. Oh man, y'all don't know what y'all missing, man.
Man, you are killing me with asparagus, bro. You own that asparagus.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, we're not gonna talk about the piecemeal, but it's all good. Hey, it's
Gary. Where the fly suits at, man?
I know, right?
Hey, they're in the closet. Maybe I'll give you guys a tour of my closet later on. You'd be loving that. I got a new one I want to show you anyway, Rob. When I come back and meet up in the ATL again, you better be bringing it because I'm going to be styling.
Yeah, no,
I'm going to be
Gary.
Best in the house.
Oh, man, JQ, you got a guess. Hey, y'all, Gary and I used to go to conferences together, man. We used to try to outdress each other all the time, man.
Wow.
Rob, did you point out?
Talking about old school.
Dudes?
Huh?
Talking about old school.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to see Curtis, man. It's good to see you guys, man. So, again, we're excited. JQ, you may see my pup walk in, too. She's a little excited, too, man. So, she just got a haircut, so she may jump in the frame every now and then, too. So, again, we are excited to bring the first edition of this is actually season 6, episode 160. So, 160 episodes in, we finally get a chance to see each other. at least virtually. So quarantine is, makes you do some crazy stuff too. So again, let's throw out the numbers for the show. The numbers always call all the time. I know we got a call already on the air. 424-243-9519. That's the number. Hit out your boys. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And if you go to facebook.com/12thmansports or talking sports, 12th man, you will find us as well. I got that memorized, man. I can just flow right off the cuff with all that stuff too. So we got a lot of things to talk about. I appreciate you guys. I guess we'll grab this caller real quick. I'm not sure. Yo, what's up, caller? How you feeling, man? Feeling good?
All right. You said you're in season six?
Season six, we've been doing this. Yes,
I'm only in season three of mine. Oh, dear. I got somewhere to catch up on.
No, I mean, like I said, whenever me and Rob first started doing this, remember, like, man, I remember I called. I was in, I think I was in San Francisco. I was on a call. I was at a restaurant, and I was like, Rob, we got to do the show. So we literally, that was crazy how long we've been doing this, man. So it's just been, we've been going for a minute, too. So really quickly, man, we're excited. I know you can't see us, caller. Tell us your name again. I know you call in a lot of times. You from New York and everything, or from Jersey,
Louis,
right?
From,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Louis from Jersey, podcast
from
radio
Jersey,
veteran.
Okay. Yes. All right, welcome, Louis, as well. And I know we're going to talk about some Last Dance stuff and things like that, too. Did you want to kind of, like, talk real quick before we jump into, because we're on Zoom now. The fellows are doing a quick test, man, so it's good to see us. We got West Coast. We got H-Town covered, so all that good jazz, too. So you want to say anything real quick before we get started with that?
Well, it's like, you know, I was watching, of course, the Last Dance, miniseries, the last parts, and does Horace Grant have a grudge, or does Horace Grant have a grudge? Oh, boy. I mean, they're former teammates, and here we are years later, and they're like, you know, like sort of like at war with each other. My goodness. I mean, I know he wasn't the same superstar as, say, Jordan and Scottie, but my goodness. I thought we all thought the Bulls were this come-together team on the court and, you know, stuck together more like a family. But away from the court, it's like, you know, they were cats and dogs that are ready to almost like to kill each other. Well, not literally, but you know what I mean.
I mean, I don't know if it was, like, straight up like cats and dogs. But go ahead,
Michael Jordan think Horace Grant was a snitch.
That's why.
Yeah. Or other words, but
and,
I won't say them here.
And the other part of it is, you know, Shannon Sharpe went off about it. I'm a grown man, bro. You can't tell me I can't eat dinner on the plane because you thought I had a bad game. Like,
right.
You know, we think Robert's a habitual line stepper. Michael Jordan is a habitual line stepper, bro. He just does stuff to people and pushes their buttons and trying to get the best out of them or, you know, whatever he's doing. And if you're Horace Grant and somebody, if you didn't do it and somebody says that about you and they've done other things to you in the past, you know, and you're done playing with them, you get to a point where you're just like, F this dude. I, you know, I'm going to go ahead and speak my mind now. I'm no longer on the team and neither one of us are playing. So, I'm not over the top mad at him. It's just like, stop talking about me like this, bro. This is just not a good look.
And what was this
how
rift
many people's opinions have changed about Jordan since his documentary?
What was this rift that Michael had with, was it Robert Parrish or something? He tried to bully him his last little bit, too, and he wouldn't have anything to do with that. Parrish just, listen, I got some chips, too. And, you know, you're not going to kick my ass. And then after that, he said, I guess, you know, Jordan kind of backed away from trying to bully him. But he was at the end of his career, and his skill set had been diminished. But I guess he still had enough pride, you know, just, you know, hey, you're not going to bully me.
Well, Robert
you know,
Parrish
so
don't look like a dude you want to fight either.
No,
old man track. You don't want no part of that.
No.
You gotta like bob and weave, man. Hit him one time, then kind of get out the way, man. Cause that dude is.
No, I can
go ahead with that donkey kick punch. You gonna be in trouble.
As long as I can see it coming, that's what I'm saying. So, Rob,
dude,
what else you got to say about that?
I ain't never seen Robert Parrish smile, man. He always look mad, so you know you don't mess with him.
That's a bull.
Yeah, chief, man. You don't mess with him, man.
Right.
Man, So what do you got to say about that, Rob? What's your thoughts about Michael Jordan and Horace Grant and kind of that whole, you know, feud that's been happening and whatnot, too? So.
Well, I mean, it's obviously an unfortunate situation. Three guys won three championships together. And, you know, obviously Michael Jordan believes what he believes. Horace Grant is denying it. So I don't know if we will ever know really what's true. You know, you would like to see them somehow come out and make amends. I mean, you know, those guys went to war for 3 years, well, more than 3 years. They went to war a few years prior to that, losing to the Pistons in the playoffs. But they won 3 championships together, and you got to come together and kind of make amends. They sit down and talk through that like men. And, hey, let's sit down and talk about what really happened. And, you know, obviously Jordan is accusing him, and Horace Grant is denied it. Hey, let's be men. Get on a plane, go meet somewhere. I don't know where Horace Grant lives. We think Jordan, well, we know he's one of his places in Charlotte. We don't know where else he lives. Hey, but let's get to the point. Yeah. Let's sit down and talk about this like men. You saw Magic and Isaiah do that a few years ago. They made up amends for whatever they happened with them a few years ago. And, hey, Jordan, Horace Grant can do the same thing, and that's what really needs to happen.
Curtis, Gary, what say you guys? You guys good over there?
Well, you know, I'll tell you a Horace Grant story. When Arnett and I lived in Orlando, we were on this little boat ride in Winter Park, Florida, and Horace Grant lived on the lake. And beautiful place, of course, a mansion. You know, jumps on his jet ski when these boats come out, just to come and talk to the people on these boats like what we were on. Really super nice guy. Very approachable. He just in the brief encounter that there and just listening to him on different other things, he seems like a man with some integrity. And you're a man with integrity, to me, it doesn't seem like something that he would do. So I don't know where they got all the information, but, you know, that's just my thoughts on Horace Grant.
Well, I mean, you saw in that whole documentary that Michael would make up stuff. He would make up enemies, and he would make up trying to bury people, and he would make up trying to take your heart out. And there was something that jacked him up about Horace Grant after he left the Bulls. Maybe it was the fact that he left the Bulls. But Michael had that kind of – there was some total focus with Michael, and there was some dead-on could make himself be your enemy in him. And this is some of the stuff that made him great. I mean, and like I said, I've done a lot of sports. I've never ran across a guy like that. And I've been around some awesome guys. I know the 8 guys that's been in the NFL. And they haven't been that mean, that petty, and make up that kind of rivalry. The only person I think was close, I think when Tiger was on his run before his butt fell out that Christmas Eve, but before that, I think Tiger had that too. I think he wanted to go out there and destroy people on that golf course because he sure was doing that, and he wasn't giving people no kind of chances. He was killing them and pumping his fist and putting his finger in their noses. I think Tiger had that too.
Mike, man, you know, watching that documentary, it was easy for him to find something to fuel his fire. It was easy for him to find something to motivate him. Oh, Karl Malone, you won MVP? Well, I'm going to be MVP of the finals. Charles Barkley, you won MVP? Well, I'm going to be MVP of the finals. And he always found something to motivate him. And, you know, just like Curtis just said, and that's what really made him great. He always had something that would really push him. And you just don't find too many people like that.
And, you know, the one thing we forgot about Horace Grant is remember when they went to Orlando and they beat them in that series, and they put Horace Grant on his shoulders coming off the court in Chicago.
Yep.
He didn't like that shit. He didn't like that at all.
And that motivated him all offseason.
Right. So that could be another piece of that puzzle with those two that, you know, he comes across with that piece of, oh, you did this one thing here. So, again, I'm going to make up a story. Like, maybe he did that too. Oh, he's the one that sold us out. You know, so you never know with Mike, man. He just is crazy like that. He might just made all that up. And he sometimes you tell a lie so often, you just start to believe it. And that might be where he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
what you got.
I mean, none of us are the same. And there's different strokes for different folks. And there's different guys out here. And even you guys all know guys. Some guys are personable and friendly. And some guys just go right by them. You know, they wouldn't even stand to be bothered. And we all know people that, you know, none of us are the same. And different guys are different people. And to be in, it doesn't look like Horace can be in Michael's inner circle, but Mike has an inner circle of different guys.
Yeah.
That's
go ahead, Lou. Let me real quick, too. Yeah.
JQ, show us what you're drinking, man.
Uh-oh.
Show us what you're drinking, JQ.
There it is. That's why. Hey, Lou, do your last little thing, man. I know we don't want to, like, I know you've been pretty patient and whatnot, too, so I don't know if you had anything you want to say as we're going here, so go ahead.
Yeah, because, like, you know, I've seen every episode, and, like, you know, we always thought that, you know, everyone would be like Mike and like I was saying, does anybody still want to be like him? Because, you know, watch this documentary. I think a lot of people have maybe...
Are you hearing him?
Lou, are you away from the phone? You walk away from the phone?
I'm still here.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
you
talked about, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you kind of like you're
going
out. Yeah,
I get a little trouble with the phone sometimes. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Carry on.
So, like, does anybody still want to be like Mike?
I would like to know who was in Mike's inner circle. It wasn't Scottie Pippen. Wasn't Horace Grant. Really wasn't. Bodman. Was it just him and Phil Jackson?
No, he talked about that security guard.
Well,
and he talked about some boys that was protecting him.
Yeah.
The boys that were keeping him away from the media.
Yeah.
Listen, Charles Oakley is his homeboy. Even when they traded him to New York, him and Charles Oakley are still like that. So if we're talking about like a player that he played with that's in his inner circle, Charles Oakley is one.
Yeah, initially
and
he really needed that trade too.
Yep.
And apparently and it was a big surprise on that thing for me to see the guy that got him back in, on the practice field. I'm having a hard time remembering his name.
Mm-hmm.
He was a bull, little guy.
Steve Kerr.
No, not Steve Kerr. The brother.
Steve Jackson? Oh,
Craig Hodges?
Not Hodges. Come on, you guys. It's on the tip of my tongue. He's the one.
BJ Armstrong?
He's the guy that brought Michael after baseball. He called Michael and said, Michael, you want? He took Michael to lunch.
Oh, BJ Armstrong.
BJ
Armstrong.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's in the inner circle. But when I'm watching the film and I'm watching that documentary, and they talked about how many all-stars Michael played with. I remember B.J. Armstrong. Boy, I've never seen that guy as an all-star. What was I missing? Sure. I didn't think that guy was that good to be an all-star in the NBA.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Back
he was
when
a
he
role
was
player. I never saw him as an all-star.
He was an all-star.
Sometimes you get hot in half the season shooting the three ball to make the all-star.
Hey, fellas, before I do go, I just want to plug in my show if I can. I have a show on Saturday nights from 5 to 7 on the East Coast called the Enhanced Sports Show, and I'll be covering parts 9 and 10 of the miniseries along with some other topics. So if you got time between 5 and 7 Saturday, call this following number.
512-543-4662. Hold on. Okay, do that again. Call it again. Give me the number again.
Yeah. 512-543.
512-543. I got it. I'm right in the chat.
512-543-4662.
All right. What's the name of your show?
And you start at what time on the east?
5 o'clock in the east, 2 p.m. on the west, and
2 p.m. on the west.
2 p.m. on the west, 5 in the east.
Copy that. Gotcha. We gotcha. We were going to give you a quick shout out.
The Enhanced Sport Show. That's with an E, though, not with an I.
Gotcha. All right. I'm actually chatting to the guys right now. The Enhanced Store. Right,
yeah,
gotcha.
Thank you for calling in.
Hey, we're going to show you some love. I'll give you a shout, man. Right.
Thank you.
Have fun. My man. Calling in pretty consistent. We appreciate him showing us
thank
some
you.
Love.
Appreciate that.
Soccer sports with the 12th yeah. man. It's kind of sucks because I wanted to talk about his question and to kind of segue into other things too because, you know, yeah, JQ said he would love to be like Mike. And there's kind of the flip side to being famous in the fact that, you know, you had to always have somebody's attention. You had to be a certain way. I mean, it's tough, man. Everyone's taking the time, autographs. I mean, you can't go anywhere. You know, you're basically prisoner to your hotel, but obviously you're the greatest in the world. So that's the flip side of being famous. Yeah, you got this money and blah, 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 and who knows, whatever, that perspective. But, you know, it is kind of lonely at the top, you know. So you tried to bring everyone with you as you probably did too. So yeah, go ahead.
When you can call the grocery store and they'll say, we'll just leave the doors open for you to come shop after hours and we got your back, all that other stuff just to fall by the wayside, man. If you want to go eat a certain place, they will shut that place down for you for a little while. If you want to go to this particular player at this party, you can go. You ain't gonna be in the middle of the crowd with everybody. You know, you can't do that. But can you be in the VIP room that doesn't nobody know about? Yeah, you can. You can still go have some fun, listen to the music, and go see your shows. Like, you can still get around them when you see that level of celebrity. Like, if you just want to walk down the street, then no, that ship is sailed. But that ship's overrated. I don't care about walking down the middle of the street or down there on a regular Tuesday. Let me get chauffeured around and let everything be flowing and taking me places. Are you crazy? Let me be tired of that life is what I'm saying. I would love to have the opportunity to be tired of that life.
You got. I'm sure you get old after a while. Go ahead. Rob is beating himself. Rob, what's up, bro? You kind of in thought process mode here. What's going on, man?
Trying to hold that phone between his head and his shoulders.
His neck sore. Leave the man alone.
Hey. Old school works best, JQ.
I'm sorry, my man.
That sounds like you don't want to come to the 20th century. That's what it sounds like. I still got a rotary phone. Man, come on, man.
Wait, talk back. I have an iPhone. That's what's hilarious about it. If you had an iPhone, JQ, I could text you on the plane. But you're going to get on the phone with that 1993
I know,
iPhone.
Man.
We're going to talk more about last year.
JQ still got an Android, man. You can't get an iPhone, man. Oh. You can text on a plane with iPhones.
There you go.
All right. We're still gonna talk. He got like 5 phones. We're still gonna talk some Last Dance, but I was gonna kick it to Curtis and Gary. Looks like Gary is kind of walking around in the house. Really quickly, guys, we're gonna do your cowboy shout out here to let you guys talk about that because apparently Rob likes to either harass you or throw you a bone. I'm not sure what it is. So, again, we're going to ask you guys, will Dak Prescott have a deal by July the 15th? So you have your whole time to talk some Cowboys talk right about now. So there it is. You guys can have the floor, all that good jazz.
He's going to have a deal one way or the other, whether it's signing that franchise tag or his contract, you know, or whether they have a contract. If he wants that fifth year, if the Cowboys want to sign him for the fifth year, they're saying, Rob, pay attention to this. I'm going to stop what you're doing now. Pay attention. I can see you now. He's wanting $45 million for his fifth year. That's a lot of money. I don't know how. I don't know where he came up with that figure for his last year, but that I think it should be a sticking point. It would be with me, but I do believe that they'll work something out. But if they don't, they'll franchise tag him. Hopefully, you don't pout for a couple of games. If he pouts for a couple of games, that might really, really hurt their season.
Well, they got a quality backup.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a guy. I mean, it's hard for me to hear that he wants the same money that Russell Wilson is getting. He hasn't won a division, and he didn't get in the playoffs last year. I don't think he's being realistic, but I also think we're doing this pandemic. We're doing this stay in place. I think, and I would probably do the same thing. I'm not going to worry about anything until we get to July. I'm not going to talk to you guys. I'm not going to deal with you guys. You guys do whatever you guys want to do.
Yay!
And then in the first of July, we'll see what we're talking about. But hey, I'm Jerry Jones, and Jerry Jones always feels like these guys are his kids, which is not a good quality for Jerry Jones. But Jerry Jones needs to tell him, look, you're not Russell Wilson. You're really not. If you think and your agent thinks you are, I hate to tell you guys, y'all not. And as long as you guys are trying to play that, we're not going to play. Franchise tag and see, get out there in the open market and see what you're about. But if you don't win another division, you might be out of football.
Wow.
Yeah, the only thing about it is, well, let me just jump in real fast and let Rob have it. I still go back to how they playing the game with chicken because I hear what you're saying. But if I'm that, and that fifth year at 45, that's just insane because, like, you know, I don't even know where you come up with that number. It's like, let's just think of a number.
No, that was what we
But no Cowboys fans, for real, oh, goodness, want it to come and pass and be like, you know what, we're going to go into week one. With Andy Dalton, we should correct this. Nobody thinks that. And I think that Dak Prescott is looking at that too, like, if you want to go into week one with Andy Dalton, you go into week one with Andy Dalton, y'all holler at me. And then you've seen, you know, talk about Evan Smith, you talk about with Zeke, like, you know, the precedent is there with the Cowboys, with that owner, to hold out and say, man, if we don't got the spot that he think we should get off to, then maybe we can get him to fold. And I'm not saying he's right, especially for that fifth year for his demands. But I could see him look at that blueprint like, okay, you know, he's done this before. He's done this before. Maybe I hold out and I get what I want if they don't get out the trust they want to because y'all know good well as Cowboys fans, nobody's excited to start to see where Andy Dalton quarterback. You can talk yourself into it if you want to, but you know that that's the truth. Just be honest.
I look at it this way. He's way better than Cooper Rush.
True.
And Andy Dalton, I'm not saying he's a savior or whatever, but I am saying that that's a really solid backup quarterback. I think I thought it was a fantastic move. I didn't see it coming. I'm glad it did because that does give the Cowboys at least an option if he is. I mean, he could very well go into it this next season and try and set out for a couple of games, though. Do like what Emmitt Smith did back in the day for his contract. He may do something like that. That's a possibility. And I would much rather go in with Dalton than Rush.
Well, Dalton also has something to prove. And Dalton also is working for a contract. He's not going to be there fooling around. He is not going to be there fooling around. And he's got Cincinnati teams to play off. And he's in a lot better situation in Dallas than he was in Cincinnati. And if he could work anything about what he did in Cincinnati when they went to playoff after playoff and get Dallas in a playoff, I expect that he can do that. I'm not trying to say this guy's not a pro. This guy's a pro quarterback. This guy's a veteran quarterback.
Probably with better weapons than he's ever had in his career. Overall, better offensive line, running game,
and
receivers.
And being
defense,
motivated.
Everything.
Yeah, weapons.
And being motivated.
Bad.
What's that?
He had weapons.
He did have some weapons.
I don't think it's even comparable.
He has the weapons, but I think where we differ is on the part of being a backup quarterback. If that gets hurt or something like that happens, you can say, oh, I can bring him in because the circumstances force you into that situation. Is what I'm saying. You feel, yes, 100% better than having Cooper Rush. But you don't want to start the season when Dak is fully healthy and sitting there waiting to get his contract signed and then saying, okay, I'm putting Dalton in. That's why I differentiate that. If Dak gets hurt or something happens in game four, you know, and you got to put Andy in for a week, yeah, you're like, yes, Lord, we're better than Cooper Rush. But you don't want to go into week one with everybody like, yes, let's start the season, and you start Andy Dalton.
Well, there is no doubt that, and we just got finished talking about Michael Jordan and Michael Jordan's focus. One focus, win it all. One focus, win it all. What do I need to do to win it all? One focus. And there's no doubt that if they don't get this done, they'll go into the next season with distraction and unfocused. And these things destroy football teams. They really do. I've seen it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You go into these seasons and you got these kind of distractions, log out the season.
JQ, what you got in that mug, man? It's not no moonshine, it is.
No, that's
just
brown.
They're not. The Cowboys are not that team. They're not that team that can have any distractions. Period. They're not that good. They're the, you know, third or fourth rated team maybe in the NFC, somewhere around in there. So if they want to win and go on in the playoffs and compete, the only way they're going to have to do that is to focus, stay together, and not have the distractions. If they win with distractions, it's going to be just like Curtis says, it's going to be an 8-8 season.
Well, the thing about it is they're going to be the most talked about team. What are they, 2-14, 5-11, 6-10? They're going to be the most talked about team in the league regardless. So they have to have a strong group of individuals that can block out a lot of the distractions from the media. So, I mean, that is a really good point you're making there, Gary. They have to have a strong leadership group to be able to block out all the noise on the outside in order for them to be successful. Because they, you know, people are going to talk about the Cowboys. That's just the bottom line. And, you know, Andre made the point why we're always on the show, because that's what a lot of listeners want to hear. Unfortunately, you know, people either love or hate the Cowboys. I'm more in the hate category. But, you know, that's what, you know, that's just...
Well, that's more jealousy than anything. But go ahead, continue.
No, not jealous, you know, not jealous, you know. Not jealous of an organization that hadn't been anywhere since 1995. But, but I do hate them.
But
hate is a strong word.
It's amazing that team is America's team. You hate them or not, it's not going to ever change that fact. The Cowboys are America's team.
And any of us have traveled around the world. As you well know, Rob, you've done some, your fair share of traveling. Guess what team nobody knows about? The New Orleans Saints.
That is true.
I've been to 55 countries around the world, probably more than anybody in this group. And I guarantee you, the one NFL team that they know about in every country I've been to is the Dallas Cowboys. America's team.
That is not true. Don't have me to bring my wife in the shot. She is a witness. I wear my Saints stuff all over the globe when people stop me to talk about the Saints and Drew Brees all the time.
I don't have to wear a Cowboys jersey. I don't have to wear a Cowboys jersey for them to bring up the Cowboys.
I've been thinking about getting me a jersey of every team except for the Patriots. I'm not gonna get a Patriot jersey. Well, I might. I might get an old Boston Patriot jersey with Jim Plunkett. I'm thinking about getting Jim Plunkett's old Boston Patriot jersey.
You might lose the bet, though. Listen, man, you might be wearing a jersey. Be careful.
I'm not buying that one from NFL.com. But my New Orleans jersey. My New Orleans jersey will be A. Manning. A. Manning will be, I just was thinking about that today. My New Orleans jersey is going to be A. Manny. Now, the problem I'm having...
I have one. I'm going to have to wear it for the show next week.
What Billy White Shoes Johnson jersey should I get? I think I might get the Kansas City one. He's
get
been
the
on
Billy
like
White
five
shoes,
or six.
$10.
The Houston one, okay.
Yeah,
no,
get the baby blue.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get that one.
That one's tough.
Yeah.
But he also played in Atlanta.
Yeah, you don't want the Atlanta one, though. Get that baby blue.
Hey, Atlanta
Houston Oilers.
All right, come on, Andre. Let's go.
We got to represent the A, man, so it's all good. Hey, so all good. You know, it's funny because we're still talking about Last Dance stuff. I know we're kind of bouncing around different topics and whatnot, too, as far as America's Team and whatnot, too. And, I mean, like I said, as much as we hate to admit, you know, obviously, you know, I'm going to side with Gray slightly that everyone does know a lot about the freaking Cowboys, man. So, you know, even with that respect, too. So, I mean, it is what it is. I'm trying to find a social distancing picture for you guys, man. So stay tuned. That's what I'm looking for on my phone to send you guys a nice little picture. So if that comes over, I'm going to love to hear your reaction,
you
rabble, too.
Come on, you rabble rousing. You rabble rousing.
I know. Okay. We're going to talk about the Last Dance.
I know what you're talking about.
I know. I'm trying to find it. That's what I was looking for. It was crazy. We're going to talk about the Last Dance again because Michael Jordan was just amazing. And I know, Curtis, you said this earlier, how Michael could manufacture things to get him route, to get him going. And he really didn't need it, right? So – and that's the crazy thing, you know. Obviously, Marcy was watching the wife. She's like, "Why do these folks never learn?" Like whenever Reggie Miller was talking junk, they're like, "Oh man, I guess Spike, you know, why you even like say stuff to this guy?" And then, you know, like you talked about Rob about, you know, Carl Malone talk about, you know, he's the MVP, and you know we can talk about LeBradford Smith and little things like that. B.J. Armstrong has one good game, and he's like, "Yeah, why do you guys want to challenge this dude?" Man, is the question, because you know that dude's gonna take your heart out and just try to destroy you too. So. You know, talking about
emotions,
that,
man.
Your thoughts, and just like his insane desire to win, and the thing that even in the topics, these weren't like chump teams. These are teams that won 60. He knocked out teams that won 60 games in the year. I mean, they only lost 22 games. So this is what type of like these weren't chump teams, and then they were like, you know, basically gearing up. We're gonna take down the Bulls. The Jazz next year we got a weapon for you. The Pacers had the best like shot, but they still couldn't beat Jordan. And all he played was Scottie Pippen. He had Pippen, then he had Robin, but those two were pretty much the same. And obviously, Kukoc was later on. But that's crazy how the cast of characters didn't change that much for certain squads. And then here you had teams like we're gonna take down the Bulls, and they could not do it. So I guess my thought is, you know, talk about that for you guys. I mean, just your thoughts and, you know, Jordan's Bulls against all the great teams. You know, who wins. And I think that thread that you've seen, didn't matter who lined up, he would find something against you. Oh, you think you're the MVP this year. Oh, you're a three-point leader. He could back it up. And that's the thing that's crazy. One guy may have one game, but he was consistent, like, all games. Couldn't try to do freaking the flu game. Freaking pizza. He still showed up. Go ahead, guys. Your thoughts.
Well, I mean, I think the 95-96 Chicago Bulls, that 72-10 team is the best NBA team of all time. So I think that Chicago Bulls team would beat any team in the 4 out of 7 series. So, I mean, that's the best NBA team of all time. I mean, but, you know, there are some other good teams out there. The 86-87 Lakers, I think it was a really strong team, won 65 games with Magic, Worthy, Kareem, Cooper, Michael Thompson. I mean, they had a really deep bench on that basketball team. I mean, like I said, you got Kareem, Worthy, and Magic. You have Michael Cooper, Byron Scott, AC, Jerry Carroll Green, Michael Thompson, Kurt Rambis. I mean, they had a lot of good role players on that team. I mean, so that's a really good team. The 85-86 Celtics was a really good team. Won 67 games, 67-15. That Bird, McHale, Parrish, Danny Ainge, Dennis Johnson, Bill Redhead Walton. So they had a really good basketball team, so really good depth on that team. Jerry Stiefstein. The 71-72 Lakers won 69 games. Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain, Gail Goodrich, Happy Harrison.
That was a
man, you talk about. Yeah, that was a really good basketball team. And so another good team, 88-89 Pistons. You know, won 63 games, really deep bench. We know about Isaiah. We know about Joe Dumars. We know about Adrian Dantley / Mark Aguirre, Rick Mahorn,
wow.
James Edwards, Dennis Rodman, John Sally, Vinny the Microwave Johnson. I mean, that was a really good team with a lot of depth on it, Bill Laimbeer. But there were some other Bulls teams that were really good, too, the 96-97 Bulls. The year after the 72-win season, they came right back and won 69 games. Incredible. The 70-71 Milwaukee Bucks, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Oscar Robertson. I mean, you can imagine just putting those two names on the same team was incredible. 66 wins. One of my favorite teams of all time, the 82-83 76ers. Dr. J, Moses Malone, Andrew Toney, Maurice Cheeks. I mean, that was a really loaded team. Bobby Jones, Mark Ivoroni. Really good 76ers team. So, I mean, these are just some of the best teams, but I will say this, that 72-win Bull team I think is the best team of all time, but these are just some other teams I think that could have been really competitive. You look at the 64-65 Boston Celtics, Bill Russell, John Havlicek, Red Auerbach is the coach, Sam Jones, Bob Cousy. So another really good team, too.
They won 11 out of the 13 years they were in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the greatest team. John Havlicek has 8, and Bill Russell has 11 rings.
Yeah.
But who were they playing against, though? They were playing against chumps, man. Were they playing against?
Well,
like,
no, they
really, like,
one of the things they lost to. One of the teams they lost to, a Philadelphia team that had Wilt Chamberlain and one of the NBA coaches. I can't remember his name. I remember that guy. But they had Wilt Chamberlain. They were beating Wilt Chamberlain.
I'm calling a timeout here. I'm calling an official timeout. And you know why. You know why, Andre.
They keep drinking that moonshine now.
You know why, Andre. Let me stand up. I want to see that uniform. I want to see the uniform. Stand up. Stand up. Let's see the uniform.
Oh,
you guys see?
They over
you
mess
guys
with
see
them. They over mess with them with that social distance and that Cowboys meme. I know what he sent them. Yeah, it's a problem.
You
know,
that's the best thing with
like,
the Cowboys and the Super Bowl trophy. You know, that's
Rob
why.
You
dirty dog. You
dirty dog. You.
But, I mean, but wait, you know, but what Jordan went through, even in the East, I heard the Cleveland guys saying, the Cleveland guys thought they were better teams than the Bulls. And the Bulls was taking their hearts out. I thought those Indiana teams with that skinny kid, I thought they had the best shot to take down them Bulls. They couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then the New York Knickerbockers.
Davis boys.
Yeah. They had really good teams.
Yeah.
They had the Davis boys. Reggie Miller, Derek McKee, Chris Mullin, Mark Jackson, Jalen Rose.
Jalen Rose,
in that last chance,
you heard after six games, after four games, Charles Barkley had to tell himself, that boy is better than me. It took four games for Charles Barkley to realize, that boy is better than me.
Yeah. And that was a really good Phoenix Suns team. I mean, it was 62-20. You know, Charles Barkley, Kevin Johnson, Dan Marley. I want to say Tom Chambers was on that team too.
Tom Chambers was there.
Yeah, remember Xavier McDaniel?
That was squad.
Mark West holding down the middle. I mean, that was a good team. Both of those two Utah Jazz teams, they beat in the finals. I mean, the 97-98 version won 62 games. The 96-97 version won 64 games. And believe it or not, even the year the Bulls won 72 games and beat Seattle, that Seattle team was 64-18.
And really,
that's one I think the series could have been a little bit more competitive. George Karl, I think, made some pretty dumb coaching moves. You know, he didn't wait. He waited to game four to at least attempt to put Gary Payton on Michael Jordan. And you know, obviously you're not going to stop Michael Jordan. But Gary Payton actually gave him some problems in that game four and game five that Seattle won. And George Karl, that was a dumb move. Obviously, hopefully it's one he still regrets to this day. I think they would have still lost the series. But Seattle might have could have took the Bulls seven games in that series.
They still went 6-4.
Well, I know that.
The thing that gets lost in all these conversations about these super teams now, and I still will go down fighting this argument, they have some squads back in the day. That Portland squad they beat. You just talked about Utah twice. You just talked about the Suns. You talked about Seattle. Like, they didn't – I mean, they played some good teams. And you look at it, you can go down the roster. You probably didn't even have to look it up. You could probably go 4-5 deep in your mind, just having grown up in that era of those teams and who they had on that roster. Like, damn, they was loaded too. Like, he denied a lot of really good people and a lot of good teams some rings. Like, when that came up and said that he eliminated seven 60-win teams in the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's bananas. Seven?
Yeah.
Like you said, at worst they're 60-22. If they hit right on the 60 mark, they're 60-22.
Yeah.
That is will get you all the praise in the world in social media and in today's world, and you get to eliminate seven of them on the way to that's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's the thing.
Yeah,
that's the thing. But I want people to understand that there were super teams. They used to get the moniker of being a super team. But back then, they really had some good teams. The GMs did their homework and put together a good roster, 1-10, that you had to go through. Was like, you want a second team coming here? They ain't no punk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there were some good teams.
Utah was probably one of the few that didn't have like a bunch of stars. They had Stockton and Malone and a bunch of role players. But they played well, so well together, and they still were able to – I mean, one of those teams still won 64 games, and they only had two All-Stars on it, and Stockton and Malone. And the rest of the team, Greg Ostertag and Jeff Hornacek and Brian Russell, those are guys all role players.
What Utah had, they got a Hall of Fame coach. That Jerry Sloan – and me and Gary had this argument. I think if Sloan was here in Portland, I think we might have won a championship with Jerry Sloan. Jerry Sloan was one of those – I really believe Jerry Jones was one of the great coaches in the NBA.
Y'all think y'all would have beat Detroit or Chicago with Jerry Sloan?
No.
Maybe. But Jerry Sloan,
we should have beat Detroit.
We should have beat Detroit. But
man, Detroit beat y'all four games to one. This year wasn't even close.
Well, I think what happened, Joe Dumars' dad died in that series. And I think the boys got together and said, we're making that funeral. I really believe that. We're making that funeral. Joe, we love you. Joe, we feel you, Joe. We got to close these guys out so we can make that funeral. And here we went. And it was on like Donkey Kong.
Game five, Portland was up on Detroit by seven points with 2 minutes to go. Detroit scored 9 straight points to win the game, close out the series.
Yeah. I was going to say, Curtis.
Microwave Johnson with that corner jump shot.
They were going to make that funeral.
I was going to say a couple things I could talk about too. One thing, that's another reason why whenever Michael Jordan versus Utah and that game was on Father's Day, you just knew, like, man, there's no way that he was going to lose that game, man. You know, like, his dad. It was just too much happening on that day. But just to go back to what you said. No, don't start that, JQ.
Come on,
and
man.
Then,
you know that's what happened. You got to stop living in that bubble. Listen, who was the one that said, let's leave New York and go to Atlantic City when they was down 0-2 to the Knicks? Who was the one? Michael Jordan didn't come up with that. Michael Jordan's daddy said, let's go to the casino and gamble. And remember when he got in trouble? Did he retire? He retired after he got killed? Listen, I'm upset like everybody else was upset that happened to him. He was messed up. There's no doubt about it. But we got to stop just burying our head in the sand and not say that ain't what happened. He was living
a good life with
his son and Michael Jordan. They like to go shoot them dice and gamble, and I really think that was a part of it. I do. I will go to my grave as a conspiracy theorist thinking that is a part of it. I just don't think that was random. There's too much happening in the same sphere all at the same time. Coincidence isn't always a coincidence. A lot of times it's connected, and you just don't know it.
I'm trying to go like a high road, but you know, you definitely trying to pull me down, man. So we know that.
We all got vices. I'm not hating on you. You should get killed for it. I don't mean that. Yeah. But we all do the things that you know we enjoy
doing. Think about it, and I hear you, JQ. But I do remember in those times when you're dealing with that kind of money. And these kind of itchy people, there is some really, back then, you know, this is way before legalization. This was way before it even being cool. There were some really sketchy people you would have to deal with to be going through that kind of money. That was not a crowd that, if you wasn't really a deviant, that you should have been around.
I agree. I hate that it happened, but I'm not going to sit there and say that I feel like it was just random. That's just me personally. Like, he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. I personally don't think that. I don't think he deserved that, but I don't think it was just that he just happened to be here and carbon down this happened. I don't think that. I don't. I didn't believe it then.
Fair enough. I got you. Nah, I mean, like I said, you're going to go down with your grave. I'm going to go down to my grave. Bought some frozen envelopes with the NBA, so that's I'm with you, man. So, we'll go from there. I'm just gonna really comment real quick, so I know we're wrapping up this particular part of the show. We do want to talk about are we starting to sense some real optimism with sports turning? We can still talk about this as well, but just to kind of piggyback on what you're saying too, you know, JQ, because again, we're talking about the squads and what I mean back and then in the super teams. The thing that made it even amazing back then. Was you had your starting five, your second, but you kind of knew, you kind of looked at your roster. I know you can talk about this too, Rob. And you kind of said, okay, we need a rebounder here, or we need this player to match against this guy. That was the beautiful thing about the NBA back then because everybody knew their roles. It wasn't like, you know, I'm going to like, you know, put me outside this role of being like this crazy shooter. Like Steve Kerr only like averaged like 6 shots a game. But that dude knew, hey, this time I'm going to hit this shot, you know, or vice versa, or my job for Dennis Rodman is to rebound, get as many extra shots as needed. And like you said, everyone knew this is my job, fit in the microwave, come off the bench, score. You know, backup point guard, my job is to control the pace. You know, so everyone knew exactly what they had to do back in those days, which I think it made it even more challenging to win because you're going to get squads, you know, that there's a deficit. Okay, fill this deficit, you know, and everyone kind of was able to gel, if you will.
And the great teams today have that too. I mean, so I mean, it's I think the great NBA teams today have that. I mean, I don't think, you know, I talked about what are some of the top 8 to 10 teams of all time, in my opinion. I don't think we've seen one of the in the last 20 years, but I do think some of the great teams still have that depth today, though. They have the role players. I mean, you even look. The Golden State Warriors, they had the Draymond Greens to play their roles, and they had the Sean Livingston to play their roles. And so the good teams today have those role players, and even have a few boneheads like J.R. Smith too. But, you know, the good teams today, they do have their, you know, really good role players still in the NBA today. I mean, you even look at the right before the pandemic, you look at the Lakers and the Bucks. I mean, they had some guys really playing. Even Dwight Howard with the Lakers was turning into a nice piece for him, nice role player.
Yep.
Even with that hairdo, So I mean, they were, you know, these guys filling their roles. I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis. I mean, he had a Giannis and a bunch of other role players on that team. Brooke Lopez playing his role. What's the point guard name from Kentucky?
Bledsoe.
Yeah, Bledsoe. I mean, these guys were all playing their roles, and so I mean, you still
and
see
Middleton.
That. Yeah, Chris. Yeah, Middleton.
Yeah, the last super team was that Duncan team in San Antonio. Man, I mean, they were on one hell of a road. And they had a guy named Jobley, and they had a French guy, and they had all these different weird pieces. But that just showed me how great Tim Duncan was for them guys to win those championships like that.
Yeah. But getting back to Andre's question here, are we starting to sense some optimism with sports returning? I think we are. I think we're finally getting to that point where you see what the UFC and you see what NASCAR is doing and you see what golf is doing. Now, obviously, those are sports. Well, UFC, of course, you know, they're beating up on each other, but it's still just two people. But, you know, golf and NASCAR, there's not a lot of the, you know, you can really do some social distancing in those sports. But I think we're starting to get close. A lot of the governors out here are, you know, kind of begging the professional sports world to kind of get it going here. So you saw a lot of reports today about the NBA finalizing for mid-July return. Either in Orlando, Houston, or Las Vegas, or a combination of two of those three cities. So they're starting to make some hay here, and hopefully they can get it going. Chris Paul and LeBron James are both supporting a return. So I think we're starting to get some optimism there. And even Major League Baseball, we have a reduced season, 82 games, and they're even still talking about playing in everybody's own stadiums, but just no fans. So I think we're getting, you know, close to seeing some type of major league sport, team sport returning here here in July, which would be good because, you know, that can even make way for football too. And I still think it's probably unrealistic for us to expect fans at these football games by September, maybe October. But, you know, I just wonder what that looks like for the college scene, though, because the college sports, they really need the fans. They really need that revenue from the fan base. So what does that look like for college football? Do we start in the fall, or do we move the season to the spring? So obviously, as a fan, I'm hoping it's the fall that we get it going. But, you know, there has to be a worry for
Rob,
a lot of these athletic departments and universities.
And all you guys are down there. What I'm hearing up here is I'm hearing down there in the Southeast Conference, there's no stopping that. And there's no stopping the fans coming. The Southeast Conference is playing football. They will be playing football. And I've even heard that the Southeast Conference has been looking at some of these teams out west and telling them, we'll move you to Houston. We'll move USC to Houston. We'll move Oregon to Houston. And you guys come be part of us. I'm hearing that. The Southeast Conference, and you guys are down there. I don't know why you guys are not hearing that. I'm hearing that up here. Southeast Conference is going. No ifs and buts are, but they're going.
Hey, I want to see it. So no argument here. I mean, I want to see it. I did hear some small talk about what can they do to accommodate schools in the Pac-12. I know the NCAA is the Pac-12. A lot of the schools in California are already saying they will not be having class on campus. They're going to virtual. So I know the NCAA, one of their requirements is you have to have class on campus in order to play university sports. So we'll see how that goes. I hope it comes together. But I know you guys recognize the music. We're coming to the end of our live portion of the show. Andre is giving me the 30-second cue here. We're going to be back on live on Wednesday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You do not want to miss it. We're getting ready to go to our OT portion. We're going to talk a little bit of sports. Click on the same link to get the rest. Good night, people.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate y'all for listening in. We'll talk about next week.
Dude, blowing your drums out, eh?
Block took it to the level. I'm like hitting the pause. Block was like, no. I'm like, well, I'm gonna let it go. That's all good.
Okay, we playing. You put it in here, we playing. I got more optimism about football because I think they've got a greater window of time for it to get better. And I also saw that the Ohio State AD came out and said that, you know, we will play with 20,000 to 25,000 people in the stands and started off so we can space it out. And I think what's going to happen to your point, Rob, about the revenue is that you're going to have some paper in your pocket in order to go to that game. Because that 20,000 to 25,000 stadium, when it normally holds 100,000, it's going to cost you a pretty penny. I don't know if they're going to raise it up 4 times as much, but it won't be what it was last year, right? So I think they're going to try to get some of that back, but they've got to play because of what we talked about before with the smaller schools and the AD departments needing to get the check for that game. Yeah, Rob, toast. I'm more concerned about baseball because of the way the owners and the players and the contentious relations they have right now about how they're going to share the revenue. You know, the players already said we'll take a cut of one out of 182 of every game that we don't play. So basically we'll lose a game check. But the owners want them to receive more money. And unless the owners back down from that, I just don't know if baseball will play. I think basketball, those two is a better shot just because I feel like Adam Silver has a better relationship with the NBA President's Council or those guys. Where they can figure something out where it won't really be so crazy. So all that being said, I think there are certain things that I am optimistic about. I love baseball, but the way they're going, I don't know if that will happen. But I hate the NBA coming back the way that it will because you have certain teams who talk about it playing at such a level, and then you shut it down. And now you're trying to ask them to get back to that level they were playing at in a week and a half or maybe a training camp, going maybe another 2 weeks into the playoffs. And it's going to be a vastly different, I think, ending than what maybe we would have gotten. Because you can't ask these dudes, you know, say, hey, you're playing up here, and then it goes to here. Now get back to here like you were after 60 games in 2 weeks. So as much as I want to see it, I also don't want to see a diluted product, if that makes sense, because I just don't know what we'll get after so much playoff. You're talking about dudes that play basketball for a living. They get on TV and say, I don't have a hoop in my house. And I'm looking like, wait a minute. You play basketball for a living, and the house that you bought with your NBA contract check don't have a hoop in your driveway or your garage.
Sense.
Like, I was looking at that like, you can't even admit to that. You just got to order one and say, I had this the whole time. But the fact that people are actually saying that and they
can't bring work
to
home.
Go play, hey, man, you got to have the ability to work on your jumper at 3 a.m. if you're in the funk. You got to. And I thought we drive to the stadium. You got to go somewhere and
okay,
shoot.
Those Mansons don't have hoops in their driveway. We have hoops in our driveway. Those guys have a full court. Come on, dude.
That's
those
true.
Guys,
okay, well,
that's true. That's true.
Yeah. Jonathan, he didn't have one
at
all.
Yeah, some of them do. I mean, the lowly guy, the guy that's not making that kind of money like the superstars are, they probably don't. They live in condos.
Hey, y'all seen Andre jumper? He needs to be in there at 3 a.m. shooting all night.
Man, I got a jumper, bro.
Yeah.
Don't you talk about my jumper, Rob. I'm good. I got you, bro. Don't worry about my jumper.
Hey,
worry about
this
jumper.
Is about as high as he off the ground when he shoot that jumper, too.
Come on, man.
It was good.
It don't even
man,
matter,
that would
bro.
Be hard.
I'll be hitting jumpers,
that's
bro.
So
I wasn't even ready.
They call that a floor shot, not a jumper.
America, he just jealous. He just jealous because you know I can come. I got skills. It's all good. What you got, man?
Well, I was gonna say it was good seeing the golf guys carry their own clubs. I kind of got a kick out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was cool.
Was good.
I gotta mention, it came out in a month away. The Triple Crown is gonna start off with the Belmont. The Belmont at New York is going to be the first race of the Triple Crown, and that's going off in the middle of June. The Kentucky Derby will go off the first week of September, and the Preakness is going to go off in October. So I'll keep you guys posted
And I'm going to give you guys some tips. And I'm going to try to tell you guys how we can make some money. But the Belmont is, because it's in New York City, in horse racing, if I've ever seen things come out of the woodwork, things that really look shaky, it's always out of the Belmont Park out of New York City. I don't know what that is, but there's a lot of weird stuff that goes in on at Belmont Park.
And in Santa Ana. Like, you had like 100 horses down last year, didn't they? Was it in Santa Ana and California?
Yeah, that was devastating. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm with you on that, JQ. Yeah.
Rob, you are struggling. You going to make it, man? You okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to make it. I'm a trooper.
Man, you are struggling. Your struggle is so real.
So next week, if we get on 15 minutes early and we get on this Zoom, I'll give you guys a little we'll take you out to my driving range and we'll show some of you guys how to hit a golf ball.
Driving range?
Yeah.
Are you serious? You got a driving range? Okay.
Oh, we'll take JQ out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got
a tub.
Say what?
No, what's that?
Is that a tub behind this golf club?
That's a tent that I had to buy because I thought I was about to sit out there in the yard all day with Jordan running track, so I had to get a tent for the meet.
Yeah, that's what I got, just like that. Except mine's 14 feet tall by 10 feet wide, and I had hit off of a pad just like you would at the driving range and hit into it. And maybe you young guys will be able to at least pick up something from the old guy here. Because I'm coming out for you guys. We're going to go golfing. And I'm coming out.
It's a challenge between Gary and JQ.
And we're playing it. We're playing it. $20 a hole.
Like, go play.
I know. That's why I said I'd play you.
The
sad thing of it is, we'll probably tie.
And going back to the last dance, this guy and his golf, man, his golf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, Curtis and Gary.
I could beat Barkley.
You guys are inspiring me with the cut, man. I see everyone, you guys going with the quarantine look with the bald head, man. So that's what's up, man. I was halfway there last week, and I kind of let it grow back.
Nice. Look at that.
But
you can do better next time. You can do better next time. And Rob can do a whole lot better next time.
I need a haircut.
No. Hey, If you got it, wear it. We don't have choices.
We got to that age where that
hair is not one of the choices on the menu.
It fell off of my head and stuck onto my pack.
I got more hair. I got more hair growing it out of my nose and out of my butt than I have coming out of my head.
Wow.
Too much information, Curtis.
I was looking at that hair restoration thing, and I was going to tell those guys where to get the hair, get all that hair out of my nose, and get all that hair out of my butt, and put it on the top of my head. And that might work.
I can't. I don't know what's happening right now. We are definitely going off the rails here. Hey, so really quickly, I'm going to let you guys – I'm taking my foot for a walk. I'm going to let you guys get your last little comments in before Rob falls asleep, man, because, again, I know West Coast, you guys are still got some more hours, but we're about to, pass out. So I'll let Rob get your last thoughts in, and then we'll let everyone kind of tune in and whatnot, too. Marcia's doing well. Yeah, I'm taking the foot out. Yeah. So get your last thoughts in and everything like that, too. Go ahead.
All right. Let me go back to the notes and see maybe I'll cover one of the topics here really quick. What did we miss on here?
We didn't do the NFL really outside of Dallas.
We got enough of them cowgirls.
Well, see, I figured, you know, we got enough time because we got like a week or so to get caught up with the NFL stuff too. So I figured, again, it was a good time to talk. Last Dance was just literally last week, so it was going to kind of wrap it up too. So, yeah. So, anyway.
Real quick, I mean, I know we've kind of talked about this. You know, obviously the Ravens, JQ's favorite team, 14-2 last year, and they got eliminated in the division round of the playoffs. You know, when you look at Lamar Jackson, J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram, we expect them to be really strong running the football and offensive line. And J.Q.'s joining. Y'all can't talk about me now. Do I expect them to win 14 games? Expect them to go back and win 14 games is going to be really tough. I can see them definitely being 12-4 and being right back in the thick of things. I do think they will be one game behind the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going 13-3. I'm going to give the Chiefs 13-3 season. Offensively, they're going to be really tough to beat. Slightly improved defense, but you know, in order to beat the Chiefs, you're going to have to outscore them. You're going to have to be 45-40. It's going to have to be some kind of games like that. Chiefs are going to get theirs, so you're going to have to outscore them. And you know, we talked about the Denver Broncos. They realized that they went out and got every kind of offensive weapon they can get, because if you're going to have any chance against the Chiefs, you're going to have to outscore them. The Bucs, Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay could be a 9-7, 10-6. I'm going to go more with 10-6 with Tampa Bay. I'm going to go with 10-6 with those offensive weapons. I know Tom Brady didn't look the same, but I'm going to predict 10-6 season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on next year. And, you know, will Tom Brady and Bruce Arians be a good fit? You know, I think the challenge here that they're going to run into is they didn't get a chance to have a real off season together, OTAs, mini camps, things of that nature. So they're going to try to cram everything here into training camp. Now Tom Brady is a veteran quarterback, so he'll be a quick study, and so I mean that could help him. And I think his arm is still strong enough to throw the deep ball, which is Bruce Arians, what he really likes to do. He really likes to have that downfield passing game, which means you have to have the protection in order for it to work. So I think they may get off to a slightly slow start because of not having a long off season together, but I can see them going 10-6 and making it as a wild card.
Yeah, I can see that for the same reasons. I want to just jump back into one. No, LeBron did not have played in the NFL. I know they came out when he was training for it because of the lockout. Stop it. No, I mean, I'm an Ohio kid. I love LeBron, but y'all stop that message. Just because he's good at one thing, I mean, he can be good at every goddamn thing. Let's just not get carried away. You know what I'm saying?
I think he's a good enough athlete, but will his body be, will his body last 16 years like it has in the NBA, 16, 17 years? Absolutely not.
No. But I'm talking about, at the point in time in his career where they said he was training for it when the lockout was happening, where he was seriously considering doing it. Maybe, and I still don't think in 15 years, if he had said, screw basketball and do football, I think he's going to have to have but not just to say basketball, and then cut over to football, and you think he's going to be good LeBron at the NBA on the NFL field. Like, come on, man. You do a disservice to the dude that played football all their lives in the NFL and think he can just jump in and be a star on their level. So that's why I say that about it. I love LeBron, but I think that's crazy. I'm with you on Arians and Tom Brady. We're going to find out a lot about Tom Brady's arm strength, the way he has left, because Bruce Arians likes to go deep, and he likes to go deep often. And anytime you give him a five-yard run, that means he can play action pass off of at least three both times in a row to go deep on you. So we're going to find out a lot about Tom Brady. I also think that you're right. Without being able to, you can Zoom meet, and you guys can maybe go throw in the park, but out getting all together like you normally do, I don't think you still have that same level of getting it, especially as a new quarterback and a new system and a new coach and all new teammates. It's going to take a little bit of time to get that to jail. So I can see 10-6, and you still got the Saints in your division, so you know, and you're leading off with them. So you're not going to really run away with it like that. The Bucs, I mean, the Chiefs and the Ravens, I think they both end up 13-3, but I think this year is the year the Ravens beat the Chiefs and they get the one seed. Because I think what is happening is that you've seen what's happening. You're giving Jackson more weapons, and that defense is always going to be tough. And that's going to be one of those games where Kansas City just can't walk in and just roll up the score on the team. I just don't think they can, because I think that Baltimore has the ability. Now you got another good running back in that mix with that defense that hard to score with Patrick Mahomes sitting on the bench.
You know, so if you can't sustain offense and put together a 6-7-8 minute drive multiple times in the game and let Mahomes watch this game from the bench, that he can't hurt you sitting over there. There's very few teams in the league that can do that. I think Baltimore is going to be one of those teams, as much as I hate it, but I think they're going to be one of those teams. So I think they're going to go 13-3, but I'll give Baltimore the edge. I think they're going to have a little bit more chip on their shoulder. Sometimes when you win and you eat, you're not always as hungry. I mean, Michael Jordan was, but not everybody's Michael Jordan. When you're that team that loses to them and you lost that particular ranking to them, and then, you know, saying got upset in the playoffs, I think Baltimore comes back really hungry, and I think they beat the Chiefs for that tiebreaker. So I think they both end up 13-3.
Yeah, and the Ravens were the number one seed last year too, so it's totally not out of the realm of possibility. Yeah, the Chiefs just got lucky, and the Ravens got upset, and the Chiefs was able to be home in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Well, you know, with these crossover athletes, you're talking about LeBron James and the idea of him coming and playing in the NFL. I don't think he could make a practice squad in the NFL.
Wow.
I don't think he could take the beating. Because those guys are bigger, stronger, and
faster.
You don't
think they're going to have more game days just try to come in to block field goals? If he could jump up and block field goals?
I think he'd be a great practice squad player in the NFL.
Huh?
The other thing I want to talk about is the comparison in the last 10 years of Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. In the last 10 years, Drew Brees has won 4 playoff games. In the last 10 years, Russell Wilson has won 9 playoff games. So in this last decade, I put Russell Wilson ahead of Drew Brees in that list of great quarterbacks.
And he went to back-to-back Super Bowl. Drew Brees only went to 1.
Shots fired.
Oh, yeah, they just touched. Yeah, they just fired shots off you. I was just saying, I didn't even think.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
That's crazy.
Some people feel like Russell Wilson.
That came right off the top of my head, too, guys.
There's a lot of
Gary, your head taking up the whole shot.
Yeah, Russell Wilson is not getting the credit that he deserves. One of the things I wanted to ask you guys about. What happened with the defensive back from the Giants and the defensive back from the Seahawks? Were they down in Miami? What happened there?
They said that they held up a party and, like, took a dude's Hublo and some other jewelry and some money. Like, oh, yeah, they were crying. DeAndre Baker and Dunbar. They said they pleaded not guilty, but – the stories about it is wild. I went to Roto World, is where I looked it up. So if you go to rotoworld.com and look up the last thing, they've got a couple blurbs about what happened. But apparently they robbed the party. Like, I guess that NFL rookie contract money ain't what it used to be. Because you just thought they robbed the folks. But that's the story. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, well, we'll see what the NFL does about that. Because that is not what the NFL needs.
They're not going to play. Yeah.
The David Wallace, like, when I read that, I was like, come on, man. You got NFL money. It may not be, you know, crazy NFL money, but you ain't got to pick up no
party. Yeah, well, it's like five million. But that goes to
what I know about pro football and what I've seen about pro football and even the XFL and some of these little shambles leagues. There's a different kind of human that plays football. And a lot of them have a lot of mental problems. And a lot of them are some heavy-duty drug addicts. That's a different cat on an NFL football team that I don't think LeBron James has no idea about. That's a real different cat playing NFL football.
I always say you got to be a little half crazy to play football.
Yes, Lord.
A little more than half. Gotcha. All right, gentlemen.
I would love to see him try, though.
I love it.
I'd love to see him try. be the last 40 tried.
No, I'm with you. We know athletically he's got that, and you know, a lot of NFL tight ends have a lot of basketball, you know, definitely history. So, but again, like you said, I mean, kind of like taking from JQ, it's like you wonder how long he's going to last, and he's not going to, it's not going to be a long career, but, you know, I think he's athletic enough to at least, you know, try that if he wanted to. You know, it's kind of like Jordan. Like they said, if Jordan put work in, he could have probably hit the breaking ball. But, you know, again, that's just amazing. You have to have the right work ethic to definitely be successful. So, again, I know we're wrapping this up. We don't have a lot to talk next week. I would like to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, Michael and how, you know, if he's a good teammate and kind of that leadership aspect, and we'll kind of let certain things rest, man. And I'm upset, man, because my window to buy Jordans has now gone again because the Jordans have gone up, man. So appreciate y'all for buying all the Jordans that I was going to buy, man. So thanks for bringing that curve up, man. Appreciate y'all, man. So, yeah, there it is.
Well, on that last dance, it looks like the only reason why he came back to basketball because baseball had that strike. If they had not had that strike, would Michael have came back to basketball?
Boy, the Utah Jazz are hating that right about now. Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah.
I think so. I think he the itch was just there, and I just don't think he was getting it from baseball like he had gotten before. It, you know, I think the itch was there for him to return to the sport that he was at his best in. So, and Michael thrived on greatness, and in order for him to get to that point, he had to go back to basketball.
What I'm talking about.
All right.
Good stuff. JQ, anything last you want to wrap up on, bro?
Nah, bro, I'm tired. I'm tired, boss.
It looks like you finally hit that game. Like, we were going to the adrenaline rush, and now we're kind of like, we're kind of dropping. Hey, fellas, it was great to see you guys, man. Again, hopefully we do this again if you guys are down. I know Blog Talk has the intros and stuff like that too, but this worked out pretty good. I know there's like a slight delay from what I'm seeing, but hopefully it's been pretty good phone versus the Zoom chat. Has that been pretty accurate, you would say?
Oh yeah, no, this has been great.
I'll tell you what, though,
sitting
down on a Zoom call makes me sleepy, man. When, believe it or not, when I be on these shows, I walk a lot when I talk. That helps.
I do too.
Oh, wow.
All right.
It's making me sleepy.
I'm walking around.
Yeah, it was bad news for me. My big,
good to see you guys.
Yeah, my big ALS thing had to be delayed, and we had to do my ALS visits on a Zoom call, and also with the ALS meetings that I do on the first Wednesdays of the month, that was also on Zoom calls. I don't really, I mean, for this format, it's really cool, but for big time hospital issues and health issues, I don't think the Zoom call is doing us any good.
I got you. No, I was just commenting on that too. Like, I was talking to JQ earlier whenever we were testing, I was like, I know they're probably sick of using this because it's cool at first, but now your work, everything is with Zoom, and you're probably like, okay, another one. So, you know, not that I wanted to kind of take that, but I was like, hey, it's been cool, you know, to at least see you guys and have some fun because that's what technology does allow us to do this, you know, crazily. So that was kind of my thought process with it. You know, I'm like, hey, this is where our jerseys represent, have a good time, have some fun, see you guys. I got to be engaged. I can't be, you know, looking at it, I got to look at you guys because, you know, before I'd be like looking on the internet, like grabbing stuff or little things. Now I got to like look at you guys and say, hey, what's up? How you guys doing? You know, so it's just kind of a different, you know, obviously option. But yeah, we're definitely crashing now. We've kind of hit our adrenaline. It's kind of like, yeah. All right, guys.
You know, the funny thing is we do these Zoom and WebEx and Microsoft team meetings at work. And, I get sleepy on those too. But the regular conference call. The regular conference call.
You need a multivitamin.
The regular conference call.
Oh, that's that asparagus.
The regular conference calls, I'm fine. But these video ones, I get sleepy on. I'm like, man, these are ones that get sleepy.
Boy, you are like nuts.
All right, guys. Hey, Curtis, Gary, like I said, that was a good call. Curtis, thanks for sharing that about, you know, ALS and what you're fighting, man. Again, we still appreciate you all that you guys deal with. Gary, a lot of love for you, man. It's good to see you, man, finally, from this perspective.
Absolutely.
Cannot wait till the next call to see the golf stuff. Again,
are we
going to
do this again next week? Same thing?
I don't know. We'll let you know. We'll kind of see what happens. You guys let me know. It'll be always available if you want to kind of keep it.
I like it.
As is, just on the, you know.
Yeah, we can
so,
keep doing this. I'm cool with it. I just might have to see me yawn a time or 10.
Get up and walk around, man.
Oh, I'm going to start today.
Andre, so that way when you send me a text, you can get my reaction.
I know, right? I was like, man, Gary's probably not even gonna respond to me. He's like, who's this dude calling? You know, whatever, texting me. So that was,
hey, Gary.
That was yeah.
I'm looking for some. I got the itch to travel, man. You let me know as soon as Portland is reopened.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Hey, one of our ski resorts is open. If you want to come up and ski, we can accommodate you.
All right. The key for me is when restaurants are reopened. I got to be able to dine in.
Well, almost the whole state except for Portland. If you want to go to Bend or if you want to go to Madras, we can do that. But if you want to be here in Portland, not yet.
Not yet.
Gotcha. Wow, what is that, Rob? Is that your phone?
Did Andre just fart?
What are you talking? Bro, come on, man. That's all you.
Hey,
no,
I don't think you paid his phone bill.
That's Rob. No, on a serious note, I got fam in Portland, so we're gonna have to make some things happen, man. So we'll kind of tie everything in too. So whenever I have, like, I'm the PJ business has slowed down tremendously, so.
Well, this is where you stay. You stay with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any of you are welcome.
That.
Huckleberry Shake and that Marion Berry Shake.
Don't say that, Gary.
I got some new places.
Show up.
Oh, you got some new places?
I got some new places.
All right.
Oh, yeah. I got some new places I'm going to take. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Will. I'm telling you, man. Portland has got the most microbreweries per capita. So, Gary will set you straight on the beer, my brother.
And strip club.
I knew that was coming.
Per capita.
And good night, folks. Wife's in the other room. And good night, folks.
Good night.
I'm going to go argue now.
Well, I mean, it's nothing to be proud of. And if you come from other parts of the country, what blows a lot
trouble.
Of people's mind is our homeless people are mostly white people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot of black folks that are homeless in Portland. It's mostly white.
Wow.
Well, I was going to say, a whole lot of black folks in Portland, period.
Bro.
Well, I went once, and I was like, oh, okay. It's like being back in Cincinnati.
So
I got a connection to go to Nike headquarters in Portland to get like 33% to 50% off of stuff.
Hey.
Oh, that's nothing. 33% to, that's nothing. That's a bad deal, Rob. Bad deal.
Oh man, you got a better connection, Gary?
Oh yeah, way better.
Got it.
Oh man, I'm going with you.
I got a way better deal with Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, Columbia.
We know people that are in Brooklyn.
I wear my Air Max 95s, baby. Now, come on. If you talk about getting some deals at Nike, I need to be on the way. You see my face like this?
Hold on.
We got people that are employees at Nike and Adidas and Under Armour. And they all set up camp here in Portland.
Oh, look like they're having a Nike shoe runoff.
Yeah, they are.
The golf. The Air Max golf shoes.
All right.
I'm an Adidas guy.
Oh man, we're sorry to hear that, Gary.
Thanks. It works
good.
I get that vertical leap in them. Vertical leap, baby.
I can't with y'all. All right, before we get in trouble, seriously, before I pass out on a serious note, before Rob pass out.
All right,
We're gonna talk about this more next week, and then we're also gonna like plan our trip too, man. So stay tuned, man, because I'm coming to Portland, man. I'm gonna make it happen, straight up. You said a word. JQ, appreciate you, man. Thanks for testing with me earlier. Rob, thanks for putting together the topics. Gary Curtis, thanks for being great sports. Thanks for your battle, man. We always appreciate you, man. So, again, whatever we can do to keep that going, let's keep it going. Have a fantastic week. Stay safe in quarantine. Keep the fam. Much prayers going to you guys. And let's pray for sports to come back. And let's pray for the nation, too. So, talk soon for sure, okay?
Pray for the world.
That's right.
Hang in there,
people. Gentlemen.
Yes,
hang in there. We're not out of the woods yet. Let's keep pressing through it.
Don't touch your boy.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night,
y'all. Good night, Rob.
Good night.